Today, it's good to see all of you here. If you'll please stand in respect to God's word. I forgot to do that the last time I preached, just because I'm not used to being up here. I get so nervous that I always have to write everything out because I'm afraid I'm going to forget something. But anyway, what a pleasure it is to be in the house of God today. There's millions of people out there just doing their own thing and having a good time today. Maybe some people fishing. I'd like to be doing that, but the Lord would rather have me be here. I invite your attention this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you'll turn there, please. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to be reading the first 10 verses of Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. He said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We just pray, Lord, that the word of God would do its work in our hearts today. Lord, that we would open them to see what, open our hearts to see what you would have for us. And Lord, that you might speak to us. And Lord, that your will would be done in our lives. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity to be here where the word of God is preached. We just ask now that your blessings would be upon us, that you would guide and direct each one of us in our hearts. And we ask these things in Christ's most precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so I've given this message an unusual title. It's Where's the Holy Spirit? And the reason I say that is because it really has nothing to do directly with the Holy Spirit. It has to do with Samuel and some of the things that he said. But I would like us to draw our attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be evident in each one of our lives. And we're supposed to be looking for the Holy Spirit working in our lives, teaching us, guiding us. We'll probably go over it one day, but in the ABCs of Christian Growth, it talks about how the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He dwells in the believer. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he becomes our teacher to know the things of God's Word. But also, as we have read in Acts 1:8, He's the power to witness and to serve God. But also, the work of the Holy Spirit in me is to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And we find that in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, in case you're interested. And also to enable me to be a testimony of Jesus Christ. And so I got to thinking a couple weeks ago when the pastor was preaching how A lot of times when you come into churches, yeah, they can come up and be friendly and everything, but it's all a facade. And we really need to get away from facades. We need to be real people. We need to be exactly what we say we are. And when visitors come, we're not just nice to them because they're visitors. We're nice because we truly care about them, and the Lord is working in our hearts. And so it's important for each one of us that when people come in here, that they see the Spirit of Christ working in each one of our lives. And so we need to ask ourselves, where's the Holy Spirit? Where is He in our lives, in our church? If you would ask yourself this question as we look over the life of young Samuel, I think you'll see a lot of things here where the Holy Spirit might be able to speak to your heart if you allow Him. I'd like to read a little bit of background on Samuel. Hannah was one of the two wives of Elkanah, who came up to Shiloh to worship before the Lord. Hannah's childlessness led her to pour out her request to God in bitterness of heart. But she trusted God to provide her a son, which the Lord so graciously granted. She vowed to give her son to the Lord, and as soon as the child was weaned, she took him to Shiloh to present him to the high priest, Eli. Spiritually and morally, the times were bad. The sons of Eli were unworthy representatives of the priestly office of their father. In their greed, they violated the laws of the offering and engaged in immoral acts with the women who served at the door of the tabernacle. Although Eli tried to reprove them for their wickedness, he was not firm enough. He was not firm enough with them, and the Lord declared that He would punish him. So I'd like to turn your attention now to verse number 1. And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Samuel was a model child. He was the son of a pious, prayerful mother. Here in the tabernacle, his care and training was attended to by the women who served there, while Eli cared for his religious instruction. Samuel had the great privilege of growing up amid holy services. He saw daily sacrifices offered in the sanctuary. Samuel was not only given up to God, but brought up in God's house and doing God's work. It is to be noticed how obedient Samuel was to his guardian, who stood to him in place of a parent. We do not read of any disobedience or discourtesy to Eli. On the contrary, we see that the greatest respect and attention were paid to the child, were paid by the child to the aged man who had cared for him. You know, I think it's really important that as it's important for us, of course, we don't have a lot of children here, but I think it's important for us. I know when our kids were growing, God really impressed it upon me to train up our children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so many of you, and even myself, we're grandparents now, and it's important for us to look to the next generation. Our society is very evil. It's very wicked. We need to look to our next generation. We need to look to their hearts and to their souls. We need to show them and be an example to them to be what they ought to be for God. And of course, they can't do that if we're saved. Or if they're not saved, I'm sorry. And so sometimes, now one time I was listening to one of the messages that I was preaching, and I said just the opposite I wanted to what I wanted to say. Sometimes when you get, I don't know if you've ever seen preachers do that or whatever, but they'll flip it around. Instead of saying, God is so good, you might accidentally say, Satan is so good. And what you really mean to say is, you know, Satan is bad and God is good. But you kind of get ahead of your mouth there, ahead of your thoughts. But it really is important to raise our kids to be obedient at a young age. That is really important. God looks to the children. He says, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to be looking to the children. We need to be praying for our grandchildren. And, of course, I still have some kids at home, and I pray for them every day. And I pray that we could minister to the children. I pray that in this church we might have a children's ministry one day. And it's always good to see Bonnie's children, Bonnie's grandchildren come. I always enjoy seeing them, and I try to get around to greeting them. But children are an important part of our society and in our churches. Show them it is important to be in God's house. After they're saved, instruct them how to serve the Lord with gladness, how to pray, how to do the things of the Lord. When my kids were growing up, I worked a lot in the bus ministry, and I'd go out and get boys and girls for Sunday school and bring them to church in a big old bus. And I always enjoyed doing that. I always spent a lot of time going out and visiting the kids and trying to invite them to come to church. But one of the things that I found was I was spending so much time out on visitation on Saturdays, because basically there's a principle in bus ministry that if you don't visit them, they're not going to come. And so after a while, they get to know you, and they know that you love them because you always show up at their door every Saturday. And so they kind of expect it, and some of them even look forward to you coming. And so what I would do was, well, my kid, you know, it's a lot of times Saturdays are your only day off, Saturday and Sunday. And of course, Sunday we're always in church. So I would select one of the kids, and I would bring them with me as my visitation partner. And so we would door knock and go around to different doors and invite kids to come. And of course, it's always easier when you have a kid with you. You know, the kids feel more inclined to talk to you if they don't know you very well. And so that was the thing, is we can involve our children and people that we know in our lives and say, hey, this is what the Lord's doing for me. Maybe he can do that for you too. So it's important. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a good thing to know the Lord from a young age. So we need to look unto the next generation and get a vision for the future of our family and friends. But I'd like you to look at something else here. Not only did Samuel minister unto the Lord, but if you look in verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Okay, and I'm just going to go with what the Bible says. There's a lot of liberal commentators who will say, well, yeah, Samuel actually knew the Lord, and he didn't recognize the Lord's voice. But I'm going to say here exactly what the Bible says. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And so, yeah, he was ministering in the temple, and he was doing a lot of works. He was doing a lot of good things. He was learning how to do some right things. But the Bible says here that he did not know the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 7, please, and verses 21 through 23. This kind of gives us the Lord's attitude about this subject. Many people think that they can get to heaven by their goodness, or they think they're spiritual because they do a lot of things in the church. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so this has nothing to do with losing your salvation. To do the will of the Father is certainly not the way to heaven, as a lot of people try to tell you. It's very important to know that there are two judgments. There's the great white throne judgment, and there is what is called the Bema Seat judgment, when we stand before Jesus Christ, okay? And in the great white throne judgment, you're judged for your works because your sin has not been paid for. It doesn't mean because we get saved by our sins. And in the Bema Seat judgment, you're also judged according to your works, but not for salvation. It has to do with rewards. And so if you study the Bible, God judges us with what he's given us. He's given us certain talents. He's given us certain things that we can do. No matter how little they are, if you do them from the heart and for the Lord, God will recognize those things and he will bless you. And so it's not our works. A lot of people say, well, I'm spiritual because I do all these works. We're spiritual because we know Christ as our Savior and we allow him to work in our lives, not because we're doing all these works in the church. And it's important that you don't allow that to become a point of pride in your life where you say, oh, this is what I do, and this is what I do, and this is what I do. Because God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And so we need to be humble people. We need to allow the Lord to speak to us. We need to allow the Lord to work through us. If you notice in verse 20, it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. What's on the inside eventually makes it on the outside. That's why it's good for us to listen to good music. That's why it's good for us to read good articles about maybe the scriptures or read our Bibles. It's important for us to do things that are going to help us be what Christ wants us to be. This is not saying that our works will save us, but rather that works will be a testimony to others that we are saved. So when you go to work, when you go to the grocery store, when you're among your family, can they look at your life and say, you know, I can't quite place my finger on it, but there's something different about that girl. There's something different about that guy. They should be able to see that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and that we're different. This is how we ought to live. Remember James 2, verses 18 through 20. So let's just turn there just for a minute. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show me thy faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so it's not saying that we get saved by our works. It's saying that our works show who we are. It shows that we belong to Christ. It is a testimony to others that we're saved people, that we're different. And so, doing the will of God is the evidence of genuine faith in Christ. It is proof of regeneration. It is the fruit of salvation, but not the means by which we are saved. Faith has to be exercised to be a living faith that people can see. It's just like exercise. If you want to get stronger, you're going to have to work those muscles. You're going to have to do those sit-ups. You're going to have to do those push-ups. You're going to have to do all those pull-ups if you want to get stronger. The same is true spiritually. If you want to get stronger, you're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to go to church when you don't feel like it. You do it for God. You don't do it because, well, I really don't feel that great today or whatever. I mean, sometimes, yeah. Okay, if you really are truly sick, stay home, get well. But sometimes we have a way of allowing our flesh to have its way. Well, I just don't really feel like going to church today, so I think I'm under the weather, so I'm going to take a sick day. So you don't report off just like you do at work, you know. You don't do stuff like that. I mean, if you can come. And the thing is, every time, let me tell you honestly, every time that I felt bad and I went to church, I was glad that I did. The Lord always spoke to my heart. The Lord always gave me something that I needed. Sometimes I had been praying about a certain thing that I didn't understand in the Word of God. I come to the church and the preacher preaches on that subject. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think God had that message set aside for me. I think God was speaking directly to me. And so, you know, it's like when Brother Fred gets up here and he says some pointed things. He's not preaching at you. The pastor's not preaching at you. He's preaching in general for your benefit, to help you so that you can become like the Lord, so that you can see those things in your life. Because many times we have those blind areas in our life where we say, oh, and we shove it aside and we say, oh, that doesn't really matter. I don't really need to deal with that right now. But that's the Satan's tactic. Later never comes. I'm going to do it later. That never comes. I don't know if you've noticed that around your house, but sometimes you say, you know, I'm going to have to get to that one day. Guess what? It's not coming. There's a lot of things like that. I mean, yeah, sometimes you get around to it, but a lot of times it just ends up going by the wayside. We can do works around church, even minister unto the Lord, but that does not mean we are on our way to heaven. Next, I'd like you to see the second part of verse number 1 in 1 Samuel. So let's go back there. The second part of verse number 1 says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The idea here is God spoke with very few, and his speech to them was private. There was no open vision. What was spoken was very rich and rare, but there was very little of it. The Lord, in his anger at the sin of Eli's sons, took away the spirit of prophecy from the land. And that's mentioned a couple times in the Bible where the prophets came and brought the word of the Lord to the people. Aren't you glad that the word of the Lord is readily available to us today in our King James Bible? You know, there were times when the word of the Lord wasn't prevalent. The word of the Lord wasn't easily available. We should praise the Lord every day that we can have his word. We can look into it to see whether those things be so, like the Bereans did, searching the scriptures daily. We can do these things because God has provided for us a translation such as the King James Bible. And so it seems like our society is getting that way, though. There's a lot of people that are illiterate when it comes to the Bible. They don't know some of the simple stories of the Bible. And that's where you and I come in. We can have the opportunity to share with people the truths of the Word of God, and we can try to make an influence in their life. I'd like you to look next at verses 2 through 4. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Let me ask you this question. Here am I is a declaration of saying, hey, I'm ready to hear. Do you have a hearing ear, my brother, my sister? Do you have a hearing ear for the Word of God? When the preacher gets up here and preaches, like I said before, he's not preaching at you. He's giving, thus saith the Lord. Do you have a hearing ear? Are you ready to hear? Are you ready to see what God would do in your life? It was in the still, quiet hours of the night when the Lord came to him. Hey, have you ever woke up in the middle of the night for no reason at all? And you can't go back to sleep? You know, I think sometimes those are divine appointments. Those are times when God wants you to say, hey, you know, I can't go back to sleep, and there's really nothing to do right now. I need to get some sleep, but I can't. So take that time to pray. Take that time to set aside and say, Lord, I'm calling out to you. Lord, is there a reason why you woke me up? I know there's been a lot of times when I've just been going through my daily life, and God puts a certain person on my mind. And I'm going, why was that? And sometimes I'll just send up a little prayer, a quick prayer. You know, I might be busy at work or I might be doing something, but I'll send up a prayer for that person because I believe that God often brings those things to our mind for that very purpose so that we can turn to Him and we can do the things that we ought to do. I think it's very important for us in this church to pray for one another, to think of one another, to bring each other up before the Lord in prayer. I know some people who are awake, but have not heard the message. They're sleeping. And sometimes you wonder, well, what in the world? Why are they asleep? Perhaps you were here and you were sleeping and you woke yourself snoring. Have you ever seen somebody do that? Like, oh. You're like, yeah, wake up, man, wake up. What's the deal? Why are you here if you're going to sleep? You know, no, I understand. I mean, I used to work a lot of graveyards and I'd come to church and it was really hard for me to stay awake. But really, it's important for us to stay awake in the house of the Lord and to pay attention to what God has for us. You know, it's funny that God came to Samuel when Eli and his sons were right there, but God bypassed them. That must have been quite a rebuke to them when Samuel got up and he came to Eli and he said, "Here am I." And then eventually Eli realized that the Lord was speaking to the lad. But next, I'd like you to see, how do we know that Samuel heard God's voice? And I told you already, pretty much, in verse 4, he says, "Here am I." And he doesn't waste any time either. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to have to put that off. I'm going to have to think about that and maybe do it later." No, he gets right up. He goes to the priest. And of course, he's used to helping Eli out and helping in the ministry of the tabernacle and all that. And so he didn't waste. He was a very obedient child. He got up and went right to him and said, "Here am I. Is there anything you need? Is there something I can help you with?" He came directly. But I'd also like you to look at verse 5. And that brings me to my next point. To hear is to be a doer. To hear is to be a doer. Look at verse 5. "And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou calledst me.' And he said, 'I called not. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down." I mean, you can just see this, right? He's over here sleeping. He gets up. "Here am I. Here am I. I'm right here. How can I help you?" You know, and it's always nice to see someone who's a servant like that, who is so willing to help. Have you ever been at church and maybe you're eating and like when we go to Yakima, some of the people of the church will serve you during the meals. Not, you know, they don't get your food for you, but sometimes they'll come over and say, "Hey, can I get that plate for you? Can I take your silverware?" Because they're trying to clean up. You know, they want to get back upstairs when the preaching starts and all that. But, you know, it's always nice to have a person who's right there ready to help you out. But look at verse 5. He came and said, "Here am I." James 1, 22 through 25. If you'll look there, please. It says, James 1, 22 through 25. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So that's exactly where we are sometimes, is we come to church, we hear the message, and the next thing we know, we leave, and we forget what God showed us when he pointed out the scriptures. The Bible says, be a doer of the word. Apply what you've heard. Hang on to it. That's why I like, a lot of times I like to take notes, because notes will help you remember what God spoke to you about. Sometimes it's pretty fleeting. It'll come and go, especially as you get older. You forget things quickly. And so God wants us to remember those things. He wants us to look. What's it talking about? It says the perfect law of liberty. As we open the Bible and we look, it's like a mirror showing us who we are. Now, we don't always like that picture, but God shows us that picture so that we can examine ourselves and do something about it. I always tell my kids, you know, if my hair's messed up or I have something on my face, I wish you'd tell me about it. Don't just stand there and laugh, you know. What is it, you know? No, there's something on your face, you know. And then you were going to let me come to church looking like that, you know. So it's important that we look at ourselves and examine ourselves according to the Word of God. But next, I'd like you to see that we're not to be hearers only, but true hearers. How long have some of you been hearers only, but not true hearers? Now, I don't know your heart, but perhaps this could be you. How long have the ears of your heart been dull of hearing? Perhaps you have heard my voice, but you just accounted it to me. You say, oh, that Brother Dirk, whatever he says, you know, whatever. But you haven't heard God's voice. See, when we hear the Word of God preached, like Brother Fred said, it doesn't matter who's preaching it. It matters what the message is for us. And so we need to get that message, not just to be hearers only. Maybe you've heard the voice of the pastor, a gifted evangelist like Brother Sommerdorf, teachers who have come up here and taught, but up until now you have not heard God's voice. It is important that we hear the voice of God rather than our own will or our conscience. You see, sometimes Satan will try to trick us and he'll use our worldly conscience against us and we'll think, well, that's God speaking to me. If you're in your Bible, then you'll know that it's not. But we have ideas all the time that are contrary to the Word of God. That's why the Bible always tells us, go back to the Word of God, find out, is it true? If I preach something here that's wrong, I hope you would go home and look it up and then come back to me and say, hey, brother, I think this was a little bit, you know, you might want to check this out. And, you know, let me know that it's important that we hear the truth and we live by the truth. Satan can make this clever deception quite believable. Sometimes our own desires are so deceptive, we think it is okay, that God is okay with it. That it's okay to do. Look at Samuel. It was the first thing God had ever said to him. It was the first time he'd ever heard God speak to him, and yet he heard God's voice. Some of you, God has spoken to many times. Well, why haven't you responded? Why haven't you allowed the Lord to have his way? So the question would be, how many times has God spoken to some of you? So under the subject of hearers only but not true hearers, we have a few of the ears that you want to avoid. The number one is the itching ear. We don't want to have an itching ear. This describes Christians who will turn from the truth and follow teachers who teach the new things. New. The new things. Okay? Listen, the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. There's the truth, and then there's the lie. And so, if you're in your Bible, God will help you to decipher. This is truth, this is lie. This is right, this is wrong. This is what the Bible is for. And so we need to allow God to speak to us so that we don't have itching ears. Because they want to hear. They want to hear anything rather than the pure Word of God. And I think that's why some people come here and then they never come back. Because we preach the King James Bible. We're one of the few churches in Spokane that preach the King James Bible. And there's a reason for that. But also, We don't always preach what everybody wants to hear. We're not out there tickling ears. We are preaching the Word of God. Our pastor stands on the Bible, and that's why I come here. But you can see we don't have people just dying to get, at the doors, just flowing in here to come and hear the preaching, because it's not always wonderful to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, sometimes He steps on our toes a little bit, and that's okay. It's all part of God working in our lives. The ears of these apostates will itch to hear new things. You know, it's funny because we're seeing this prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. Look at how popular those televangelists have become. A lot of people watch those guys on television, and they're very unscriptural, most of them. And what they do, and this is the devil's tactic. He'll take this much truth and that much falsehood, put it together, and it looks great. But it really sends us off on the wrong way. It really puts us in a bad position to where we're not doing exactly what God would have us to do. Secondly, we have the plugged ear. The plugged ear means your ears can't hear because they're plugged up with sin. You've been allowing sin to be going into your ears. Many cannot hear the voice of God because there's sin in the way. Some people have their darling little sin, their pet sin, the one, "Well, this is the sin that I love. This is the one that I like to take with me everywhere I go. And it makes me happy." No, we need to get rid of that. That is stopping you from hearing what God wants you to hear. It's stopping you from doing what God wants you to do. Habits, ruts. Kind of like the guy in the ditch. You ever been out in your car and it's winter time and you get stuck in the ditch? You know? And you can't get out and you're stuck and you just keep going back. Well, that's how it is sometimes in our lives. We have that sin and we just can't get out of it. Well, there's a real reason for that, you know? We have to allow the Lord to work in us. One time, Daniel and I were up at Dead Man. My dad has 20 acres in the Colville National Forest. And we were on our way. I can't remember if we were going to hunting or coming from hunting. But there was this big patch of ice. It was probably from here to the front door. Big patch of solid ice. We could not. Our car just went sideways. We could not move at all, so we just stopped as easily as we could. Because up at Dead Man, you don't just go off the road. It goes down like this, and then there's trees and all this stuff. So if you go off the road, you're going to have a serious problem. But we were just sliding all over, and we had to stop. There were a bunch of four-wheel drives on the left over there that were stuck up in the ditch, and nobody could move anywhere. We had to actually get out of the car and guide the car down to where we could get some traction. Maybe you're having that problem in your life. You're just slipping and sliding and you just can't get anything going. Let me tell you, Jesus can give you the traction you need to pull out of it. If you'll listen and let Him have the steering wheel. But that's the problem. I want to have the steering wheel. I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to be here when I want to be here. What? I thought you belonged to the Lord. I thought the Lord was giving the marching orders. Oh, well, not in this matter. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. That's a will problem. Our wills are to be submitted to His, just like our pastor is submitted to Christ, and Christ is submitted to God. Submission is a very important part of our Christian lives. And there's another ear. There's the critical ear. They have not come to profit, to hear profit, or to apply the message to their lives. They've come to judge. They've come to criticize. They've come to critique the sermon well, brother, you just didn't say that word right, and you misquoted those verses. Well, it's not as easy as it looks when you're speaking in front of people. I don't know about you, brother, but I get really nervous. And sometimes I make some mistakes that I didn't think I would make. You know, and sometimes they draw worthless comparisons between one speaker and another. Well, you just can't read the scripture like brother so-and-so, or you say some things that I don't like, and brother so-and-so isn't like that to us. And listen, if you just get over all that and focus on what God would have you to do, listen, all that'll go away. It'll just go by the wayside. Just do what God wants you to do. But finally, I would like you to see something here, verses 8 through 10. Eli perceives the Lord's call and tells Samuel what to pray. Okay, so in 1 Samuel, I should have kept my finger there. First Samuel 3:8-10. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." First of all, I'd like you to see about this point here. Eli could give no answer to the call of God because God wasn't speaking to him. You can't answer to somebody else or give somebody an answer about something that you don't know anything about. All you can do is give them advice. And so I never tell my kids, "Well, this is what God wants you to do," because I really don't know what God wants them to do. Only they do. And so you have to let people be free to work with God and have God work in their life and encourage them to seek the Lord. Those called of God must respond to him for themselves. And so it is with salvation, and so it is with us. That's why when you lead a person to the Lord, it's better if you don't say, "Okay, pray after me." Let them pray their own prayer. And if they just say, like kids often do, "Lord, come in," or "Jesus, I want you," or something, yeah, it's not the perfect prayer. It's not theologically correct or anything. But if their heart's right and they're calling out to God, God sees that and they'll be saved. And so that's what we have to do. We have to let people be and work with God the way that God wants to work in their lives. No one can do this for us. Eli, in response to Samuel's inquiry, tells him what to pray, which we can do. We can say, "Okay, what you need to do is bow your head, close your eyes, so you block out all distractions. Tell them why they're doing it and say, 'Pray this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm just a sinner and I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. And I know I'm going to hell." Maybe you'll say that. I know I did when I was 8. "Lord, please save me." And ask him to save you. "Please give me eternal life." And you let people pray their own prayer. And that way you can tell, you can have some idea whether the Lord is really calling them or whether they're just doing it for other reasons, which people often do. So speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You could say that his spirit responded in an attitude of submission, willingness, and prayer. This is one of the greatest attitudes that we can have in our prayers. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I hope that everyone here who has any fear of God at all will take the prayer of Samuel and make it his or her own. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And cry it out for yourself. And if you honestly, sincerely, and truly are asking that question of God, "Lord, would you speak to me? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," He will. He will speak to you. I pray that your heart will feel the desire to know Jesus and to hear from him like a groaning that cannot be uttered. Speak, Lord. And you can say anything along that line. Speak, Lord, that I may be instructed. Speak, Lord, that I might be convicted. Speak, Lord, that I might be changed. Speak, Lord, that I could change this in my life, or that I could have this attitude or that attitude. We can pray specifically about ourselves to God. And if we do, he will hear us and answer our prayer like he did with Samuel. So finally, in conclusion, where's the Holy Spirit in all of this? He's right here with us. He's instructing us. He's guiding us. He's hoping that we'll make a decision to hear the Word of God in our lives as true hearers, and that we'll answer to his voice today. That's what he's asking us to do. If you could please stand and bow your heads, and close your eyes. We'll have an invitation. I want to give you a chance to respond. I don't know what it is in your life that you need help with or how God's working in your heart. Perhaps you've prayed a prayer, but you've never truly been saved. You never turned away from your sin.